Beginning each year with Thanksgiving, we enter a holiday season that is characterized by giving. At Thanksgiving itself, we give thanks for the abundant blessings of life, and we also give donations of turkeys or other foods to those in need. Then at Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and some other midwinter festivals, the giving of gift items to friends and relatives is customary, and the charitable giving of toys, food, and funds is widely practiced. Today, I would just, for a few moments, like to explore the phenomenon of giving in human experience, as well as the gifts of the season that are there for all of us to receive. I enjoy unpacking words to get at the historical and sometimes deeper levels of meaning embedded in the word. And the word give has a very interesting history. Our modern word give goes back to the old English word giffen, and further back it is thought to be related to an Indo-European root word that means to bring. The word in Old English has a more restricted meaning than our modern usage does. According to my historical dictionary, to give once meant freely and gratuitously conferring on a person the ownership of a thing as an act of bounty. It's a beautiful meaning, really. Giving in this sense is freely offering something without an expected return. In Old English, one would never use that word give as generally as it's used today. For instance, you would not ever say, I give the cashier a dollar for the newspaper. The proper word to use in that context was sell. So you would say, I sell the cashier a dollar for the newspaper. It sounds funny today. Or you would say, please sell me the change instead of give me the change, because this kind of interaction is an exchange and not a true gift. A gift is an act of generosity that transfers ownership of something from the giver to the receiver. And there's an interesting phenomenon about giving. Think about it. Is it really possible to give something totally gratuitously, to give something for nothing? When you give a gift, you may expect nothing in return. But the almost magical nature of true giving is such that you can't really give without receiving something back. Hedda Bejar, the actress and writer, once said, "The fragrance always remains in the hand that gives the rose." So in giving, just by doing it, we receive. There's a beautiful set of words that I often use when a couple exchanges rings during a wedding ceremony. Your rings, it says, are the symbol of the unbroken circle of love. Love freely given has no beginning and no end. Love freely given has no giver and no receiver. You are each the giver and each the receiver. So, like a ring, the heartfelt human process of giving and getting is an unbroken circle, and it becomes impossible, in a sense, to distinguish who the giver is and who the receiver is. Receiving gracefully is itself a gift given back to the giver. To me, giving is one of the most fulfilling spiritual disciplines there is. Giving at its best involves a thoughtful focus on the person who is to receive your gift. It is an act of generous, expansive love. Whether what you're giving is that special, well-thought-out physical item or the less tangible but no less precious gifts one person can give to another. Your time, your help, your attention, your ear to listen, your shoulder to cry on. Maybe just a joke to lighten someone's mood. I actually love to shop for holiday gifts for those I love. Perhaps you know this feeling too. I enjoy it despite the often lamented commercialism, because while looking for that perfect gift, I hold that person in my awareness. And of course, the gift needn't be a thing at all. Maybe it's a night out, or a yard cleaned up, or a special meal cooked, or a poem written just for that person. Whatever the gift, when it's done, not because we're feeling obligated or because we know we're going to get a gift in return, but out of sheer celebration of the other person's uniqueness, it becomes part of that unending circle of giving and receiving that is a central part of what it means to be in a caring relationship. I believe you can even give a gift to someone who is being less than loving with you at the moment, who may be irritated, frustrated, or angry with you. You have to be in the right frame of mind, but you can even turn the negativity coming at you into a gift. By being understanding, by offering a flower in return for the lump of coal someone is trying to hand you, by conveying your love and acceptance despite the person's current behavior, you're offering one of the most important gifts people give one another, what psychologist Carl Rogers called unconditional positive regard. It is amazing how such acceptance can turn a situation around. The rewards to both parties, the giver and the receiver, are obvious. Material gift giving was part of the Roman Saturnalia feast from which some of our Christmas customs come. And it's also built into the biblical Christmas story. The Magi, who scholars say would have been Zoroastrian priests, come from the east bearing gifts. They kneel down on straw before a dirt poor child in a humble animal stable with their rich and luxurious gifts in hand, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. William Carlos Williams, in his poem, The Gift, wonders about this. He asks, what could a baby know of gold ornaments, of frankincense and myrrh, of priestly robes and devout genuflections? The rich gifts so unsuitable for a child, though devoutly proffered, stood for all that love can bring. A comedian I heard some years ago put it a little more practically. Here come these wise men to baby Jesus's baby shower. And she said, so what do they bring? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh? What is myrrh? And she said, Mary was polite. Oh, myrrh, how nice. One can never have too much myrrh. Material gifts during the holidays can be practical or frivolous. They can be over the top or just enough, appropriate or not. But the Christmas season also has embedded within it gifts that we can claim for ourselves, gifts that can come to all of us if we are open to them. These are not the ones that come wrapped in bright packages, but they are as real or more real than the material gifts. They are the gifts of the heart. One of these is the gift of peaceful silence. This may seem paradoxical. It's become almost a cliche to say that we're all too busy rushing around at this time of year, but that there is no peace, that the crowds and the Muzak carols blaring throughout the stores and the malls and the rush and the anxiety we may feel. With all of this, there's precious little silence. But in the holiday season, there are quiet, gracious moments that come to us unbidden. In late afternoon or evening, when it's dark and chilly out. And we experience a special coziness indoors, in front of a fire, or perhaps we stand in silence enjoying the tree we have just decorated, or the candles we have kindled. And there is the sacred quiet of late Christmas Eve, when the shoppers have gone and the air is crisp and still, or in a quiet community during a Christmas Eve candlelight service, such as the one we have here, when the candlelight is passed from person to person, and we momentarily catch the glow from the faces of our friends as the light is passed. It is a silent night. It is a holy night, which we share with friends and family. And so, a peaceful silence is one of the gifts of Christmas. Another gift is the recovery of a delightful and renewing childlikeness. Whether we have children or not, something childlike in ourselves comes out to play, or at least tries to, at this time of year. A child's excitement and anticipation recalls for many of us our own childhood experience of anticipation and delight before the adult world weariness that we carry about sets in. We need the chance periodically to be able to see the world once again through the eyes of a child, to perhaps enjoy our children or grandchildren's delight, and to remember and cherish the child who still lives inside of us. And so, Christmas brings the gift of blessed childlikeness to each of us. The central mythic event of Christmas is the story of the birth of Jesus, a redeemer, a bringer of light and hope. The story offers us a spiritual gift in reminding us of the ever-present possibility of rebirth in our aging selves. Through the remembering and the retelling of this ancient story each year, we can become open to our own inner rebirth. Christmas may also kindle a desire within us to become a little more like Jesus, a little more like the Buddha, or like Mother Teresa, or Mohandas Gandhi, or Martin Luther King. That is, to become healers, envisioners of hope, redeemers in our own small way to a tired and needy world. And so, the gift of this season brings the gift of rebirth and the renewal of hope. Christmas also brings a softening, an opening of the heart and hand. Our furrowed brows give way to the softness of a smile. It is perhaps harder to hate at this time of year, and easier to give. This is a time when our natural generosity flowers. However much we may complain that Christmas has become too commercial, we can take consolation from the fact that even behind the commercialism, there stands the human impulse to generosity. We love to give gifts, and at this time of year, we are reminded to be as charitable as we can, not just to those we know and love, but to the many who are in need. And so, Christmas brings the gift of the opening of hearts and hands. It brings the opportunity to express love and generosity. In addition to the gifts of peaceful silence, childlikeness, a mythic story of hope and rebirth, and the opening of our hearts and our hands, Christmas presents a multiplicity of gifts to our senses. The scent of pine, the scent of goodies baking, the sight of twinkling decorations and colored lights, the warmth of a Yuletide fire and friendly hugs, the sound of familiar carols and songs and old stories retold. Many gifts with no need for a box. It's true, Christmas does come thundering along much too soon to the department stores, driven by the profit motive, appearing on the shelves nowadays before the Halloween stuff is gone. And yes, Christmas does bring with it a mixture of feelings, some of them even sad or uncomfortable. But Christmas also comes bearing the gifts of the human spirit, if we are open to receiving them. So when the Magi come to the stable of your rebirth, when they come bearing gifts for you, will you be ready to receive them? Will your heart be open to these gifts? What do you think will be inside?